We are at paper 12?
Yep.
Edge effectiveness.
Yep.
Or lack thereof.
Good afternoon. Agenda paper 12. In November, the Interpretations Committee discussed how hedge effectiveness should be determined when accounting for hedges of a net investment in a foreign operation in accordance with IFRS 9. In particular, the Interpretations Committee discussed whether the lower of test that is required for cash flow hedges should be applied in determining the effective portion of the gains or losses arising from the hedging instruments when accounting for net investment hedges. The analysis prepared by the staff indicated that the application of the lower of test to the accounting of net investment hedges would be aligned to the principles in IAS 21. This is because the lower of test avoids the recognition of ineffectiveness when the cumulative gains and losses of the hedging instrument are lower than the cumulative change in the fair value present value of the hedge item. In addition, the feedback received from the outreach did not indicate that the issue was widespread or that diversity in practice was significant. On the basis of the existing requirements and in the light of the outreach results received, the Interpretations Committee determined that neither an interpretation nor an amendment to the standard was necessary. Consequently, the Interpretations Committee decided to issue a tentative agenda decision not to add this issue onto its agenda. We have received now four comment letters, which are included in Appendix B to this paper. All of the comment letters agreed with the Interpretations Committee's tentative agenda decision not to add this issue. One of these comment letters, however, pointed out that the drafting using one of the paragraphs of the agenda decision, which is in paragraph 6 of the paper, could be revised to include the following observation. The respondent noted that an entity will not be able to literally apply the guidance relating to the lower of test in paragraph 6.5.11 of IFRS 9 when accounting for net investment hedges. And according to this respondent, this is because the cumulative changes of the hedge item will not be on the basis of fair value or present value, but will instead be on the basis of translation differences. The respondent then pointed out that an entity will be able to apply the lower of test only similarly to the approach described in that paragraph in the standard. We know that in the case of net investment hedges, the changes in the hedged item arising from the translation differences will also be required to be present valued in accordance with paragraph B654 of IFRS 9, which is reproduced in paragraph 10 of the paper. Consequently, we think that the alignment between this paragraph, which requires the translation differences arising from the hedge item to be present valued, and paragraph 6.5.11, which deals with the lower of test, would contribute to mitigating the concerns expressed by this respondent. In addition, we note that the submission requested clarification on whether the term similarly in paragraph 6.5.13 that deals with accounting for net investment hedges should be understood to extend to the mechanics that are used for cash flow hedges for determining the portion of the gain or losses on a hedging instrument that are determined to be an effective hedge. On the basis of the comments received, it appears that the tentative agenda decision satisfactorily clarified this question. We note that none of the comments received in the outreach request noted that the application of the lower of test for the accounting of net investment hedges raised questions about the measurement of the cumulative changes of the hedge items, in this case, the net investments. On the basis of this analysis, then we think that the requirements of IFRS 9, together with Interpretations Tentative Agenda Decision, provide clarity on the submission received, on the specific question received. And consequently, we think that the Tentative Agenda Decision does not need to be modified to incorporate the respondent's concern. We have only made modifications that are editorial in nature, and that modified tentative agenda decision is in Appendix A of the paper. So we have then finally a question for the Interpretations Committee, which is whether it agrees with the staff recommendation to finalize the agenda decision.
Andrew?
I agree we should be able to go ahead and finalise an agenda decision, but I also agree with the correspondents to question the mechanics of the lower ob test in the context of net investment hedges. I do think that the hedged item is the IAS 21 translation difference, and I don't quite understand how we're supposed to present value the hedged item in the context of a net investment hedge.
That's for the effectiveness measurement. I agree, the entries will go through, Andrew, but for when you're looking at effectiveness measurement, whether your hedge is effective and what is the amount of gain or loss that you recycle, that's when the only PVA computation needs to be done. Because otherwise, your hedge accounting doesn't override the mechanics of IAS 21.
But the hedged item can't be present value because it isn't a cash flow with a future timing to present value.
So effectively, when you're, so let's say you're looking at an effectiveness test on the net investment hedge, right?
Yeah.
So you have got determined what's the term of the hedge. So 5 years, let's say, and you're doing a spot for spot hedging. So your IAS 21 entries are exactly the same for the net investment. Doesn't change it. But when you're looking at whether your hedging instrument has been effective, you do the comparison between the change in fair value or present value of the hedged item. So for the effectiveness testing, you're just doing a PV computation. In this case, it should be moot because I think the term should match. That's all.
I want to think about that a bit further, but my first reaction is what you're suggesting is potentially a major change in practice.
Don't think so.
I think we're comparing in practice the IAS 21 translation difference to the change in the hedging instrument.
Agreed, that was under IAS 39, but IFRS 9 makes it very, very clear that for any effectiveness, you have to do it on a present value basis. That was a clear change from IFRS 9.
Let's hear from the committee. Tony?
I'm going to say exactly the same as Andrew, that I would not have expected to change what we were doing, which is to compare the translation difference that arises on the hedging instrument with the translation difference that arises on the net investment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I got slightly concerned when just listening that we might start introducing time value into it. So I think I'm in the same place as Andrew.
When you say introducing time value, Tony, what do you mean? In the effectiveness computation?
Yes.
But that's a clear requirement of IFRS 9 which was brought in. You have to do it on a present value basis. Even spot, that's why, without going into it, even if you're doing a simple cash flow hedge for spot movement, you would present value it under IFRS 9. And there's guidance out from the firms on this today. All the firms have it.
So pull a few more bars. How would you apply, or how would you test for effectiveness if you've got a loan that is of exactly the same value?
It won't have any effect on this.
Right.
The PV won't have any effect.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you another example where the PV does have an effect, is when you have, let's say you're hedging a cash flow that's going to come in 3 years, spot changes, but your hedging instrument is 5 years, then you have a mismatch in the timing.
Yeah, I agree. But
No. Let me complete. All we are saying is when you're doing effectiveness, what IFRS 9 requires is that you look at this PV effect. And that IFRS 9 made clear.
I agree with you if I was doing a cash flow hedge, but I'm not. I'm doing a net investment hedge. And just seems to me in the context of a net investment hedge, I just wonder if this is a bit of a red herring.
It is. I agree with a red herring. In a sense, it's moot because I don't see it coming material ever if it matches. But I don't think for a net investment hedge also we can override the fundamental hedge effectiveness requirements in IFRS 9, which I know is a change from IAS 39, where IAS 39 was less clear on this.
I guess, and maybe I should shut up and let some other members of the committee speak, but I'm just a little bit confused. If it's always going to be moot, why we're confusing the notion of the effectiveness of the net investment hedge with something that I completely agree would apply to a cash flow hedge?
Because here we are automatically assuming that the hedging instrument is always a loan that matches automatically. You could have other hedging instruments. That is why. Agreed. With a loan where the 10 years matches, it won't have any effect. But you could have other hedging instruments where this effect could come in. I would still think that would be rare, but I'll let the others speak. But that's why I'm asking for this.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I agreed with this, the agenda decision, and I do agree with the staff analysis of the requirements of IFRS 9 as it applies to net investment hedges as well.
It's pretty clear.
Reinhardt?
I mean, my comments, perhaps not surprisingly, are very similar to Andrew's and Tony's. I don't quite understand how, from a mechanical perspective, how one would apply the present valuing. For example, in the case of a loan, which is the most common type of hedging instrument for a net investment hedge, I mean, that would suggest you present value the spot rate using the spot rate.
No, you look at the spot for spot movement and you PV that using the interest rate for that relevant period. So how do you...
Would that equal the foreign exchange? If Tony's example, you've got a net investment of a million euros and a loan of a million euros denominated both in the same currency. Under your method, would you end up with the translation gain or loss on the net investment being offset by the...
Because the 10 years are perfectly matched, it won't be any difference. But here we are automatically assuming your hedging instrument is always the loan. So what if you have a forward, which you could also designate? So in case of a loan where the 10 years match, there will be no difference. It's moot, it's immaterial, I don't expect people to do it. But for an agenda decision which applies to net investment hedging, I don't want to go and say that you can do this without present valuing, where one of the big changes with IFRS 9 is that you have to present value all effectiveness, which is a difference from IAS 39. I would say IAS 39 was silent on it, wasn't clear.
But then you're saying the words in where the words in the standard say similarly, you're saying it means do exactly as cash flow hedging.
The lower of test and the present value, because for the hedge, yes. And that was the question. When the IFRIC got the question was, explain what similarly means.
You're saying it means the same as?
That the basis to IFRS 9 says that the ISB decided to retain the IAS 39 requirements for net investment hedges.
And that is where
a major change in practice.
I don't think it's a major change in practice, Andrew. And also, a lot of people will argue that even under IAS 39, discounting was required. People will argue you had to present value it even under IAS 39. That's a debate I don't want to get into. But very clearly, that's where the things. But IFRS 9 is very clear. Even if you're doing spot for spot, you have to discount.
And the reason you have to discount is to put them on the same basis.
Yeah, otherwise you could have a transaction cash flow which is going to come in 5 years and you are hedging it with a 3-year instrument and you have a perfectly effective hedge. That was what was happening. But even when you're looking at a net investment hedge, Reinhardt, you are having to describe a tenure over which you are hedging. Otherwise, how will you match up with your hedging instrument? So even if you're using a loan, for example, you're saying it's a 5-year loan. That's what I'm saying.
What's the tenure of the net investment you're hedging?
It's a portion of the net investment you're hedging for. What period you're hedging it for? You're not hedging it for life. You're hedging it for a portion of its life. Remember, the net investment is nothing but the net assets of your subsidiaries.
Yes.
And that's what you're hedging it for a particular period, because that's what your hedging instrument is. Unless and until you have got an 100-year swap.
I mean, I think, like some others, I'm confused because, as you said, a net investment hedge, you're hedging the net assets of that subsidiary that are denominated in a foreign currency. I thought the requirements are quite clear that to be effective, you have to hedge the opening balance because you can't assume how those net assets will change
based on
income of that subsidiary, et cetera.
Agreed. But you have to also hedge it for a period.
Comes in.
You have to hedge it for a period.
When your period was an actual instrument.
Exactly. In case of a loan, it should. That's why people don't.
Whatever you've got. I mean, if because you there's no period on the investment, so you just match. So you're always going to have the same tenure, which is what I'm trying to.
That's why it's moot. But in this case, if you're a loan, that's why the net investment, I don't think it'll have an impact, because I don't see how you would pick a period other than your hedging instrument.
But that's what I'm saying, you never would.
Why would you?
I've seen some instances, Charlotte, of when some fancy designations could be done when you have derivatives being used.
You still go to the lab.
Go to the period of the derivative, wouldn't you?
Not
all it to X years, then, my period is X years. What a coincidence.
Yes, you could do some of those, but in most cases you would. But that's not the point. You could do that, but you still have to bring in the PV of that. That's all we are saying. That's all we are saying. It's a present value effect. I'm surprised this was made clear under IFRS 9, and when one of the biggest changes was spot for spot hedging, got changed to discounted spot.
Okay. Going to the phone. Sandy? We lost Sandy. Tay Long.
I agree with the staff recommendation. And the objective for the lower off test is to prevent accounting for ineffectiveness in under hedge scenario in OTR. I believe such requirements is also applicable to net investment hedges.
Yeah.
Okay, one more try on Sandy. No Sandy. Okay, let's do a show of hands. Those who support the agenda decision with the editorial changes that have been made.
My hand's up.
Yeah, look, I got yours up.
Seven.
Eight with Fei Long. No, John put his hand up. No. Let's keep them up so the.
Fei
Long is eight. That's barely enough, but it is enough. So we will finalize.
No, I was going to ask, where we have these types of examples, maybe just as a point of process, I mean, can I suggest maybe to the staff, not just on this paper, but generally, that we get some worked examples with Jake and flowcharts, things like that, because it's a number of times this afternoon we've all sat here and gone,
what in the world is going on?
What's going on? Yeah. And there was, I can't remember, there was a paper last year sometime where one of the staff did a whole lot of journals and things, and we all said, it really helped us narrow down the issue, and maybe those would just be helpful kind of going forward. Yeah.
I think that's a fair point. I was counting the number this afternoon. I'm not sure sometimes you can do enough on hedge accounting to get me to understand.
Me too.
As the financial instruments team often reminds me. But there were two or three other situations where as visual learners need some help.
Sorry, Wayne, can I just...
I just like to have a think about the words, maybe offer some comments when we see update, just to think about the concerns that Reinhardt and Andrew and I have.
All right, fine. Okay. That was agenda paper 12.